And now, Don Blackwell.
Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This verse is a favorite verse of the denominational world, and it's a badly abused verse. From this verse, men have taught that all that a person has to do to be saved is to simply believe, that all that a person has to do is to have faith. It is from this verse that the faith-only doctrine is so frequently taught. And friends, what's so very sad is that many people have believed it. Multitudes have lived and died thinking that if all they do is to believe on Christ, that they will go to heaven. And we still have many thousands today who believe that doctrine. I want for us to examine this doctrine together today in light of the Scriptures and see if the Bible teaches that faith alone is all that's necessary for man to go to heaven. And I want to tell you at the very beginning of the lesson, the answer to that question is no. I hope you'll follow along closely with me today. The first point that I want for us to notice to show that faith only is not taught in the Bible is that John chapter 3, the very chapter that many people go to teach this point, the very chapter refutes that doctrine. I want you to notice that in John 3:16, the Bible says, "Whoever believes in Christ should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, look at verse 36. We're still in the same overriding context. It says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Now, I want you to notice the two words "believes." He who believes has everlasting life. He who does not believe shall not see life. Now, in our English Bible, these are the same word, "believes." But in the Greek New Testament, these are two different words. The second word, "believes," carries with it the idea of obedience. In fact, a number of versions translate it that way. The American Standard reads as follows, "He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life." The New American Standard says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life." Another version says, "Those who believe in the Son have eternal life, but those who do not obey the Son will not have life." And so, what do we learn from this verse? What is it teaching us? It's teaching us that it is an obedient faith that saves. One who believes but who does not obey shall not see life. Our brother in Christ, who has gone on to his reward, Brother Guy in Woods, wrote about this particular passage. He said, "To believe on the Son is to obey the Son. Believeth here signifying a faith that acts. Mental assent is not true biblical faith and is nowhere reckoned as such. Belief blesses only when it leads its possessor to obedience." Let me repeat that. Belief blesses only when it leads its possessor to obedience. Another example, John 13 and 17 says, "If you know these things, blessed or happy are you if you do them." Friend, you see, just knowing is not enough. Just believing is not enough. The blessing does not come until you do these things. And that principle is taught throughout the Bible. And so we learn first that John chapter 3, the very chapter that many go to teach this doctrine, it refutes it. Secondly, I want you to notice with me today that while it is true that Jesus said that we are saved by faith, He never said that we are saved by faith only. In fact, the words "faith only" or "faith alone" only appear one time in the whole Bible, and that's in James chapter 2 and verse 24. Listen as I read that verse. It says, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." In fact, in Mark 16:16, Jesus stated that a man must have faith, but he must also have an additional requirement or meet an additional requirement. Jesus said, "He who believes," there's faith, "and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Friends, this verse is a powerful verse in dealing with those who teach faith only because it is so clearly and so plainly spoken. And so many people don't like this verse because of that. They are unable to answer it. And so many of them try to get rid of it. So Some of them will even say, well, this section doesn't even belong in the Bible. They'll say some ancient manuscripts don't even contain these passages. And to really make the argument sound convincing, they'll say some of the oldest manuscripts don't contain this passage. Let me shed some light on this for you. There are basically two ancient manuscripts which do not contain this section of Scripture. They are the Codex Vaticanus and the Codex Sinaiticus. But both of these two manuscripts are also missing. John chapter 7, 53 through 8 and verse 11 and other portions of Scripture. Both of these manuscripts do include the Apocrypha, and these two manuscripts frequently disagree with one another. Now consider that. If two witnesses frequently disagreed with one another in a court of law, it would be difficult to hold them up as both being credible witnesses upon which to base a decision. And while it's true that these two manuscripts do omit Mark 16, 9 through 20, friends, nearly all other ancient manuscripts contain this passage, including the Alexandrian text, which stands with the Vatican in its accuracy. I could say a lot more about this, but the point is these verses do belong in the Bible, and they deny that a man can be saved by faith only. Number three, I would like you to consider with me that the Bible teaches that faith only is a false doctrine because it says that faith without works is dead. Now, the religious world frequently says that all that a person must do to be saved is believe, because we're saved by faith alone, separate and apart from all works. That's what the world says. I want you to listen carefully to what the Bible says. James 2 and 17 reads as follows. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? James 2, 17 through 20. I walked into a store one day, and there was a man standing out in front passing out religious literature, and he handed me a tract that I read while I was in the store. It was a tract dealing with the plan of salvation. It said that in order to be saved, a man had to believe the gospel, repent, confess, and that's all. I read the tract while I was inside, and as I left the store, I handed the man his tract back, and I said, sir, your tract has omitted the necessity of baptism for salvation. He responded, baptism is a work. We are saved by faith, not works. I said, sir, James chapter 2 says that faith without works is dead. Are you implying that we can be saved with a dead faith? Because that was the implication of his teaching. I thought I had the man in a difficult position, but to my surprise, he said, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. We can be saved with a dead faith. Now, friends, that was the honest consequence of his teaching. I didn't think he would follow through and admit it, but that was the implication. Friends, a dead faith means a worthless faith. It means a faith that accomplishes nothing. But he said you can go to heaven with that kind of faith. The message of James 2 is very, very simple. It is simply this. Faith without works of obedience is worthless. A faith like that will not save my soul, and it will not justify me in the sight of God. Point number four, if faith only is all that is necessary for salvation, if faith only is all that's necessary to have my sins forgiven, then we have a number of passages in the Bible that are contradicted. For instance, Romans 10 and 10 says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, faith only, if faith only is the case, then confession really doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Acts 2 and 38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But if faith only is true, I don't have to repent to have remission of sins. 1 Peter 3 and 21 says, baptism doth now also save us. Faith only says baptism does not save us. Mark 16, 16, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Faith only says, he who believes shall be saved whether he's baptized or not. In Acts 22 and 16, Saul was told, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Faith only would say, arise, you're already saved. Baptism has nothing to do with it. Revelation 2 and 10 says, be thou faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Faith only would say, just have faith, and I'll give you a crown of life. Friends, a person cannot hold that a man is saved by faith only and consistently interpret his Bible, for it contradicts too many passages. Number five, I want you to consider that when we read about people in the Bible who already believed, people who had faith, and they asked the question, what must I do to be saved? They were always given additional information. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that they had crucified Him. Very clearly, the people believed. Verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? But I want you to notice, Peter did not say, well, you believe already, that's all you have to do. Peter gave them additional requirements. Peter said, if you're going to have the remission of sins, you must repent and be baptized, Acts 2 and 38. Friends, the point is that faith alone was not enough. Also worth mentioning is the fact that Peter does not tell these people to say a little prayer and ask Jesus to come into their hearts. In fact, you never read of anyone in the Bible ever being told that. You don't find that until hundreds of years after the Bible, when some man decided that that sounded good and began to teach that. Another example is in Acts chapter 9. Saul, after having seen Jesus, also believed. He had faith. I think that's very clear because of his behavior from that point on. Saul discontinued his trip to persecute Christians. He asked the Lord, what would you have me to do? We find him in Acts 9 praying and fasting. Very clearly, he was a believer. But that alone was not enough to save him. And I know that because Ananias had to come to him and give him additional information whereby he could be saved. In Acts 22 and 16, Ananias said to Saul, and now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Number six, we see that faith only is a false doctrine, that it's not true to the Bible, because when we read about some in the Bible who only believed, we find out that they were lost people. John 12 and 42 says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him, that's Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now friends, here is a case of individuals who believed. The text says that they did. But they did not follow through with obedience because there were some things in their life that held them back. Now, someone might say, well, these people were prior to the giving of the Great Commission. They were prior to the commandment of being baptized in the name of Christ. And while that's true, friends, it has always been the case that the type of faith that pleases the Lord is the faith that follows through in obedience. This is true both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn and look at James chapter 2 for a moment. It is the case that men are justified by faith. We don't deny that. The Bible teaches that. The question we ask is how? How are men justified by faith? Look at James chapter 2. Was Abraham justified by faith? Yes, the text says that. Verse 23 says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The question then is how? How was his faith credited to him for righteousness? Listen to what the Bible says, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Friends, you see, Abraham was justified by faith when his works moved him to obedience. When you have faith without obedience, it's dead. It's a worthless faith. And it's really not true Bible faith. That's why verse 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, I need to understand, I'm not saved by works of the law of Moses. I'm not saved by works of personal merit. That is, that I can do enough to merit heaven. I'm not saved by earning my salvation. That's not the case. That's why Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. In other words, We're saved by God's grace through obedience to His plan. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not that I deserve it. It's that God offers it because of His love. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Friends, if I go to heaven, it won't be because I deserve to go, because I earned it. It will be because God was gracious enough to send His Son and extend a plan by which I can be saved. But friends, this verse does not in any way deny required obedience or baptism or anything else that the Lord demands. That is how I answer God's grace. That's not me saving myself. The old denominational line that baptism is a work in which I'm trying to save myself is simply not true, and it contradicts the very basis of this passage. Now, if I had created baptism to save myself, then I'd have a problem with this verse. But when I obey it because God said it's necessary, then all I'm doing is complying with the conditions of His grace. The next point I want you to consider is that passage after passage in the Bible teaches us that we have to do, not just believe, if we're going to be saved. Consider a few. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Matthew 25:21, the Lord says to the righteous, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In the judgment scene, in which the Lord separates mankind to His right and to His left, Matthew 25:31 and following, the Lord says to the righteous, "Ye have done." To the unrighteous, He says, "Ye did it not." If you look at the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, what we sometimes call the Great Hall of Faith, you'll read about many servants of the Lord who were justified by faith, but none of them were justified by faith only. Abraham there is complimented for his faith. But why? Because it was a faith that obeyed God. Hebrews 11:8 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, went." He didn't just believe. He responded in obedience and he went. And you'll see that all of the people in Hebrews 11 who are complimented for their faith receive this compliment because they believed the Lord and obeyed what He told them to do. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice." Hebrews 11:7, "By faith Noah prepared an ark." Hebrews 11:17, "By faith Abraham offered Isaac." Hebrews 11:30, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down." But why? Was it faith alone? No, it wasn't. The walls did not fall until they had been compassed about 7 days in obedience. Friends, what we need to understand is that works of obedience in no way contradict faith. In fact, James says that they make faith perfect. James 2:22 says, "By works was faith made perfect." Romans 10, I want you to consider this point as our next one. Romans 10, a chapter that many people go to teach faith only, teaches just the opposite. Let's listen to the verse. Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" I want you to consider this verse in reverse. The verse starts with a preacher, and it ends with a man being saved. Now here's the process. You have a teacher, you have a man hearing the gospel, you have believing, and then a man calls on the name of the Lord, which results in him being saved. But I want you to notice this. Something comes after belief. Belief alone does not save him. After he believes, he must call on the name of the Lord. Now, what does that mean, to call on the name of the Lord? In Acts 2:21, Peter preached, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." In verse 38, Peter defined that as repenting and being baptized. In Acts 22, Ananias defines that phrase for us again. He tells Saul, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins," calling on the name of the Lord. And so calling on the name of the Lord means to obey the Lord's plan. Friends, Romans 10, the very chapter that some go to deny it, teaches us that after a man hears, after he believes, he must still follow through in obedience if he's going to be saved. The last point I want us to notice very briefly is that the Bible teaches that faith itself is a work. Listen to John 6:28-29. "Then they said unto him," Jesus, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." Friends, the Bible teaches we are saved by faith, but you can read it from cover to cover, and you will never find it teach faith only. In fact, the only time that phrase appears in the Bible is James 2:24, where it says, not by faith only.